I want to feed a vocoder words and notes and have it come out and see what it sounds like. Well, I mean, a lot of famous celebrities and idols and stuff have, like, put their voice into the... They've, like, recorded their voice for roboticizing.
I've heard that Cher used a vocoder in one of her songs.
Never!
I know! I don't
Which
like...
Which one?
I don't Was like it to half-breed? Be a wag. But I've heard that she uses processed notes in her music.
Was it half-breed? Was it mermaids?
It was belief.
What?
You believe in love.
I'll tell you what, I never believed that was all organic singing.
What?
That was just now. I mean, Brendan and I are workshopping where we just do duets of
Cher. No, I'm saying
Cher like
original
that.
Song, though. Like, I never believed
Do
it.
You believe this is my voice?
Nope. No, I do not, Cher.
Don't sound really nervous.
You guys are going deep for some reason. We're like,
that's Cher. Cher goes deep.
But you are. You're already a man. You're already there. Like, you should be going higher.
Not Chris.
Not Chris.
Chris's shrill girlish voice.
I do have a shrill girlish voice. That's true. Why Did We Watch This? The podcast where three friends get together and watch a very troubled movie and try to fix it. But we're not doing that this time.
Nope.
It's a mini episode.
Yep.
I'm Chris Ravel.
I'm Brendan Drischler.
I'm Lily Delahanty.
We are going to talk about action movies.
Quicha! Whoopa!
Pow! Quicha!
Look at me. Guys, I'm going to do karate. Look at me.
Pew! Pew!
Whicha! Kick! Punch!
But before we get to a segment that will certainly feature great Foley work, as you've just heard.
Good job!
You guys, that was not a gun being shot.
That was me.
That was Brendan. He was slugging a side of beef. But we should point out what movie we're actually going to be doing, which is going to be, what is, in my opinion, the worst of the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies.
Yeah, sure. Like, of the four that exist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy opinion.
Yeah.
But Die Another Day.
Die Another Day.
Where is it in the canon of Bond?
Yeah.
Pretty low.
That's also true.
But, like, you've got all of Roger Moore to go.
Yeah, to be fair, you've got Roger Moore. You've got, like, the crappier Sean Connerys. What's it called? Fucking
some
Spectre.
People like Roger Moore, and those people
are wrong. More like Roger Less.
Am More
right?
like Roger Snore.
These are all acceptable things.
Brendan cosigns.
Yes.
All of it. But yeah, we're going to be doing Tomorrow Never Dies.
Nope. Try again.
Sorry. I always get that mixed up.
No, but Tomorrow Never Dies is a good one.
I love Tomorrow Never
it's
Dies.
It's got Rupert Murdoch as the villain.
It's just Steve Jobs as Rupert Murdoch.
As played by the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
It's got all your favorites.
We're going to be doing Die Another Day.
That's right.
Featuring one of the worst credit songs.
Yes, the worst title songs. Yes.
Also terrible.
We'll talk about that too, I think, whenever that comes up.
Full shebang.
But you guys, it's a bonus to encapsulate the true feel of this movie. We have not just a drink, but we have a companion shot. Brendan, would you like to tell us about it?
No.
Okay.
Aww.
Well, moving on.
Yep, let's all go home, guys. So the drink that we have is called Sex for Dinner, which is 1 ounce gin, 1 ounce lavender vodka, 1 ounce elderflower liqueur, 2 ounces sweet and sour mix, and a lime wedge garnish. And the companion shot is Death for Breakfast, which is 1 ounce mezcal, and you drink it with an orange wedge and cinnamon the same way you would a tequila shot.
It's an alternate way to take a tequila shot.
Yeah.
As, I was informed by friends who had studied abroad in Germany. That's how tequila is shot in Germany.
Ooh.
Caitlin, actually, former guest and friend of the show, Caitlin Crane.
If you can't find lavender vodka, don't worry about it. No, I it existed. I just bought it on impulse.
Regular vodka will do just fine.
I know. But we
I bought this vodka on impulse because I saw it and I like lavender and I buy anything that says lavender on it.
You really do.
And now it's just been sitting around and I'm like, what do I do with
the
vodka?
Have you guys seen our bathroom? Do you know how many lavender soaps and lotions products we have there?
Lavender
guys,
it's
like wandering
scent.
Through an English meadow when you go into the bathroom.
You do have a lot of aggressively English-named lavender toiletries. It's like Pimblebrook.
What's the name of the one who does your bio? She's like Cockbird or something like that? It's like something...
It's like...
I'll be right back.
It's like Entwistle.
But I don't buy that. That's my mom.
But you still use it.
Every Christmas I get like a lifetime supply
of Princess Entwistle body wash.
What is it?
It's even better.
What is it?
Better than I thought.
What is it?
I love this like old type radio play thing I have going on here too. Like, hey guys!
Hey guys! It's
present. It's called Peck Sniff. He's famous Peck Sniff body wash.
Peck Sniff soup. It is it's starchy, just like our shirts and upper lips.
Okay, but sorry, here's the deal.
It's really appropriate we're getting into this because Die Another Day is very much about British aristocracy.
The Peck Sniffs.
The Peck Sniffs stuff. My mom is like, it's like some sort of like regular thing that TJ Maxx stocks that
of course it is.
But I don't actually use that. Like, I feel like that's slowly been whittled down, but like the bars are what I get. But I will buy, like, whatever bar soap. But, man, I've converted to bar soap. Guys, get on the bar soap.
Bar soap dries me out too much. I body wash is better for me.
You fucking millennials and your body wash.
Just saying, bar
soap. Whenever you move out of your parents' basement, you're going to have to buy bar soap.
Good bar soap. Just get that shea butter.
Bar soap makes me so dry.
Get that shea butter.
Like my sense of humor.
Anyway. I didn't realize we were joined by James Mason tonight.
Yes, hello. Hello, Christopher. It's me, James Mason.
That is the James
Hello.
Mason.
Would you like to talk about my role in The Last of Sheila?
Yeah. Actually, we were going to talk about something else tonight, but I
worked with Tony Perkins, you see.
I wish I could do... If there was one voice I wish I could do, it's James Mason.
Well, would you like to write something for me to say, and then I'll say it for you?
Could you just, like, make it... Could we make an app out of, like, your James Mason voice?
A soundboard.
Could you just, like, to convert anything to...
M-A-S-N, Mason. Well, guys, this has been our episode. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, guys.
It's a James Mason app.
All right, we're off the fucking rails.
All right, back in.
20 minutes later.
All right, so we thought it was appropriate, though, because we're going to be getting into a Bond movie to talk about action movies.
Yeah.
Quacha! I would like to start with just kind of the general concept of the balance between acting and action. Like, how important in a action movie is acting to you?
I think I'm pretty flexible, honestly. I'm going to put up myself out on a limb and say that I don't know what you guys' thoughts are, but I think you're going to find that I'm the most flexible when it comes to how shitty I will let the acting get.
You know what? Okay, you know, all I need is commitment to the bit.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Like, if you're not going to take this seriously, I can't either. Like, you don't have to be good, but you just have to, like, believe that your dumbass, ridiculous scenario actually happened.
Well, all right, I know
like
that...
Like, Speed.
I know that Chris hasn't seen this, but,
love
like,
Speed.
Streets of Fire. There's some pretty wooden acting in there, right? Like, it's... I don't know, like, the atmosphere, like rallies around it, and it makes it seem like, oh, he's, like, being really stoic, whereas what's really happening is he can't act.
To use something that you have seen, like Michael Beck in The Warriors,
who
plays Swan, who you would charitably say has the personality of Driftwood.
Which is why he was offered the lead of Xanadu.
Right, because you don't remember that he's even there. It just allows Olivia Newton-John a chance to shine.
I feel like action movies are where my imagination can really take hold, and... Because I'm here to watch an action movie, my imagination just fills in all the bad stuff with good stuff.
Well, and, I mean, on a certain level, if I'm going into an action movie, I care more about, like, the fight choreography or how a sequence is put together. I'm with Brendan, though, in terms of, like, if people aren't committed, then I'm not interested. I will also say, though, there are action movies that I enjoy because the acting is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, like, you have, like, your Abductions, right?
What?
Taken? Sorry, what?
No, Abduction.
Oh, the Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner,
Baby abduction.
Baby abduction.
Baby taken. Yeah.
Baby napped.
Yes, baby napped.
Baby
Taylor Lautner is baby napped. But that is, for my money, a good example of a terrible action movie.
It's
that I think
awesome.
That
but that's also just like bad. Like you're not watching. So Abduction is like you're not really watching it for the action or. For
no,
the
that is true.
Acting.
You're watching because it's just like laughing.
You're just watching because you're like
true.
this is fucking dumb shit.
Well, and you're seeing
like
Alfred Molina
sitting in front of the window.
Yeah,
you're seeing Alfred Molina and
sitting in front of the
plexiglass. I didn't get to. It was like I get to be the head of the FBI by
not sitting in front of the plexiglass.
But it's like him and like Sigourney Weaver and
Siggy.
Maria Bello.
Jason Isaacs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of people who are way too talented.
Phil Collins'
in that
movie. Kid. Who played his. Wasn't it like Dermot Mulroney who played like
his
icy dad?
Yeah.
Like you see like his lips or something.
You do.
Yeah, it's like the Rocky Horror Picture
I hate
Show
balloons.
Opening. We all hate balloons.
Anyway.
We all really hated balloons.
So yeah, that probably does go into a different category slightly of it being like.
So I don't know where this falls. I don't know if we have a better category for this thought than I have, but it might relate to acting. But like when it comes to like, I think it might, maybe it's more of a plot thing for me, but like when it comes to whether or not the acting is good or how good the action is, I also care a lot about like Like, I'll go a long way if you give me a protagonist that, like, I really get a lot imbued into. And there has to be, like, something about him. Like I... Sometimes I just really want that, like, cheeseball, like, sure. Ass hero. Or, like... Like, a Liam Neeson one is a good example. Like
Taken.
That, not Taken, but, like, Unknown, where he, like...
I saw that movie.
I call it, like, angry white men that run around shouting things. Like, yeah. Like, where's my wife? What's my past?
Unknown?
I don't know who I am.
Unknown is so bad.
I eat that shit up. So, like, if you give me a character who's, like, just this sort of crazy truth seeker slash angsty anti-hero, or, like, I don't care if you can act it.
Point of order. How do you feel about Keanu and John Wick?
All right. I have complicated
feelings. I really wanted to bring this up because John Wick is very now.
It's very trendy. It's hip. It's with it. It's fun. All the kids love it.
It's the real 411 on the street right now, yeah. Guys.
What's the 411?
What are all the cool jams?
I have complicated thoughts on John Wick.
Well, so I have not seen it, but I know it's very popular.
But you've never seen John Wick?
No. I know you guys have really sung its praises, and so has everyone around me.
No, I have not sung its praises. I only saw it a couple weeks ago.
You just heard me say it twice while standing next to me.
You were telling me how you thought it was a really cool lead in. It was a really cool concept of, like, he's in this, like, mercenary hotel bar thing.
I didn't say that.
I don't remember this. I
didn't say that. I don't know if it was you. I was saying to someone, because this movie was being sold on me by a couple of different people. And I think I specifically told you that I was sold on this, like, sort of, I think you had pitched it as, like, initially, before you said Assassin, that it was, like, a Thieves' Guildy type place, and, like, or it was, like, this wacky place where, like, and I was sort of picturing, like, I know that you guys aren't a fan of Bunraku, but I was sort of picturing, like, that level of, like, crazy, like, there's, right. Like, the circus guy, and, like, the other weird guy that's got a weird, like, fighting kick, and it was just sort of a bunch of cool badass assassins, which was, like, I was, like, all right. But I like John Wick. I think it was a good movie, but I don't think that it lived up to, like,
the hype.
Yeah, I don't think I'm up there with everyone.
I saw it, like, before, like, it was a thing, really, so much, like...
Okay, Brendan.
Yeah, I don't want to play that card, but let me just toss my hair.
Such a hipster.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to make it sound like I saw it and was like, ugh, over it. Well, but, so, like, I don't think that I have the same level of enthusiasm.
Well, so, let me bring it back just to the topic and how it relates to John Wick. In this case, then... Do you feel that the Keanu-ness gets in the way for you?
No, I like Keanu Reeves a lot. Actually, we'll
like,
watch.
Like in general?
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy, and he broods
remember?
Well.
Yeah, he flops his hair around.
Yeah, he's a top-class, he's a grade-A brooder.
He's a
top-class Ted.
Sad Keanu, look no further.
If by brooding you mean he just empties his face out like he does in every scene.
But again, it's that my imagination takes hold when I watch his movies.
I can't jive with him, guys.
And if he's acting wooden, I'll just, like, invent why he's doing that. Or, like, I'll
that's pointing out a problem of a movie, though.
No, it's
No, it's not. We're talking about what we thought, like, what we forgive in action movies.
What about The Matrix? You're just projecting shit on him for the entire fucking Matrix.
That's true. There are things that are more interesting.
It means that, like, there are limit. As we said, again, with Dracula, there are limited roles that he can play very well, but when you find one of them, it works.
Guys, I'm more of a Point Break person.
Oh.
But for that particular one, I was like, I thought it was, like, kind of, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the impetus of the movie being the, I don't know if I should, is it okay to spoil John Wick?
I think the statute of limitations has passed.
Yeah, it's been I don't know how I feel about the impetus of the movie being the dog. Like, it feels like the sort of, like, winky joke thing that I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Movie.
And it was cute, because his wife gave him the dog.
Was it sort of how, like,
It's not, I guess it's not my particular flavor of angst, the whole, like, my wife is dead.
Yeah.
I would have been more into...
So, like, you weren't so much a fan of, like, Collateral Beauty?
Oh, God.
No one was a fan of Collateral Beauty.
Oh, boy.
Well, what did you think about Keanu and John Wick, Brandon?
I liked him. I thought it was a role, again, like...
I think he did well. I think he did his job.
As it was said also, the movie was basically, like, written for him. Like, it was like, he was supposed to be in this movie. Ergo, like, it plays very effectively to his strengths and weaknesses as an actor.
I'm trying to think of, like, I feel like there's, because I'm not really into The Matrix that much, but there's, like, other Keanu Reeves movies that I am definitely, there's a reason why I like Keanu Reeves.
Speed. Speed 2.
Love Speed.
I feel like
he's not in Speed 2.
I know.
Is he?
No.
Because that's Jason Patrick, I think.
Guys, I'm on, like, it's on my list to see Lake House because I will
ugh.
See it.
Ugh, man, it's
have
tough.
Have fun.
It
I
is
know, but
tough.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going home.
Anyway, kind of similar to, like, how important is the acting, I guess you can kind of, like, cycle through the other elements of what you could kind of consider mm-hmm. a very well-made movie of, like, how important is the plot to you guys in an action movie?
I think, like, you need to sell me on, it doesn't have to be much, but, like, something's got to get me, or I'm not going to want to watch it.
Right.
Like, I think that maybe was part of John Wick, is that the plot didn't really catch me that much. Like, it was, like, a very simple revenge story.
Is there a tipping point at which, like, the action could be so good you don't care about the plot? Like, you're okay.
John Wick was not it.
Right, but I'm saying, like...
I will say that.
Is there theoretically a movie that could give you action sequences so good that you the plot would be incidental to
I
you?
I think... Here's an interesting thought that I'm having just now, or a realization that I didn't occur to me. But I think yes, but only if the movie was tongue-in-cheek and funny.
Okay.
Like, if it was, like, a serious action movie where it was, like, a really dumb, simple plot, but it had, like, really badass action, I don't think I would care as much. But if it was, like... So I mentioned before we're recording, like, Bollywood action is, like, absurd. Like, I mean, everyone's seen, like, the horse sliding under a truck thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, that level of stuff, like, that's never not funny and amazing to watch. And, like, that's still how they do things to this day. There's another... It's not even an action movie. It's like a summer comedy movie called All the Best, which I've not seen. But in the trailer, a man is like flipping a Corvette, and like there's a woman standing like by the Corvette, and like he's flipping it, and he reaches out to give her a rose as in the middle of flipping the car. And then at another point in the trailer, there's like a car that like is somehow crashes and like stands up on its side like this, like the bumper's on the road. And then another car just crashes through it and shreds.
So as long as it's that absurd,
if you're bringing it to that level, but it has to be like campy and cheesy or funny. Like if it was serious and gritty, no, I'm checked out probably.
And what about you, Bren?
So I don't think the plot matters so much as it does. Like similar to what I said about like you have to buy into this. I don't care so much as plot as I care about world building in an action movie. Like I care more about the environment that it's taking place in. And, like, if it's created an interesting world that I want to spend time in, because I don't care how simple the story is, if I'm intrigued by the world. Because John Wick is, yes, a very slight story. Like, it's a guy who's getting revenge because, like, a very famous criminal's kid, like, killed his dog. That's pretty much all you're going off of. But it works for me because there's a lot of really interesting characters, and it's set in this sort of, like, you know, like, this underground world that you wouldn't see in New York.
Right.
And that's why I like that movie. So, for me, it's more about... It's more about the details that you dress the plot up with than the actual plot.
I think I'm kind of on the same page with that, because it's also... I would find there just has to be a balance of elements that, like, if the action is really good, and I would say the plot can still suffer or be thinner as long as there's something else to fill the void. Like, if it's hyper-stylistic, like, I would say... Yeah. You could say Sin City is kind of an action movie.
I was debating about that earlier.
Right, yeah. I was as well. I'm gonna stick with that as an action movie because it is very actiony.
Guys, I remember the Keanu Reeves one that really got me.
Thank you. That's important to bring this up right now.
Sorry, but I said to say I remembered. Finish your sentence.
Yeah, but no, I would say Sin City kind of counts, and the plots there are really not that interesting, but it's so stylistic and it's so committed to this look and feel.
It's the world that it sort of makes how the characters interact with each other, I think, too.
This is going to be like, this is going to be really stupid, but The Day of the Earth Stood Still.
Yep, that is going to be really stupid.
I actually really enjoyed his portrayal of Klaatu.
I think we've been through this before. I'm not interested.
I thought it was interesting inversion of the original movie that they decided to portray Klaatu as very cold and alien.
With a piece of driftwood in a spacesuit.
with
a face drawn on it.
Whoa.
Again, imagination takes hold.
Klaatu, you're much more Burata, forgiving of your imagination, Nixu. I think.
I am. We've gone over how forgiving I can be.
How important are, like, emotional stakes to you?
Can you describe emotional stakes?
Well, so those can kind of take various forms, right? Because you have taken where the alleged emotional stake...
I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't... You know what?
I stop interrupting.
I'm not interrupting. I'm just saying.
You were interrupting.
You can finish your thought, but I can very easily say, no, I don't give a shit about someone rescuing a daughter or a...
Okay, so you asked what were emotional stakes.
Yeah.
And my answer was they can take several forms, such as...
I don't give a shit about your emotional stakes.
Thanks. Like, Taken is just an example because the emotional stake is allegedly his connection to his daughter, or it's like a missing wife, or a girlfriend is in peril, or a loved one. Or I guess sometimes they'll just like throw in a romance plot.
Emotional stakes don't matter to me at all. I mean, I'm trying, it's not like they hurt a movie or anything, but I'm trying to think, like, surely there are dumb movies with zero emotional stakes that I
think that. Maybe this is less action and more thriller, but, like, I do like thriller romances. I like when there's, like, people have to run from the law.
Thromances.
A thromance. Because that's a very common thing that happens in those, like, that's a very common pairing where it's, like, we are in the shit together.
Yeah, now we're on the run together.
Yeah,
right,
we're in the shit, and now during the process, things were very heated, and then because of that, it feels like if they were not in the shit together often, that, like, there would be no reason for these two guys to get together.
Right.
I think it's a good excuse to get an easy romance into a movie because like emotions are running high.
Is it also like, is it a way to kind of ground the non-action-y scenes of like, well, there's a down moment in between like sequence A and sequence B.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's like a natural, like emotional, reaction too, when like you have just finished running away with your, the person who is in the same shit as you. And then you have like a moment of like utter relief after like all of the adrenaline.
Right.
And it's just sort of like a, it's like almost biological at some point, yeah. Right? Like
we have to burn this off somehow.
We need a release for that.
Let's make out.
Yeah. But like, there's good movies to do. Like Hitchcock did this. Mm-hmm. Hitchcock thrived on this.
Yeah.
Like 39 Steps.
Yeah. But they're also, it's again, like you said, that's more thriller than
they
action.
Are, again, they're more thriller, but like.
Bourne, I will give you as action, but Hitchcock didn't really
get into that. The one weird example that sort of doesn't fall into this is Eagle Eye. Eagle Eye like doesn't, it just sort of dips its toes just barely.
Between Shia LaBeouf and What's-Her-Face?
Yeah. Your eyebrows knitted, but there's not a romance in Eagle Eye, right? Like it's he comes up again to her house, like
right.
To
I mean, there's an age discrepancy, which I think the movie is using to like tell
to
you right
it,
off the
yeah.
bat, like guys, don't worry, they're not gonna fuck.
It's not.
She's like 10 years older.
I know. As I'm
like,
saying, it's not,
it'd be like fucking your mom.
It's like very much not an impassable.
No, it's not at all. But like the way it's played in the movie, it's like she's so much older than him. He would never sleep with her.
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
I mean, it's not like, it's not like overt. He's not like you're unfuckable. But like at no point does the movie ever
the movie
imply,
never
like,
goes down that path
yeah.
of like it's going to happen.
Wouldn't that be an amazing yeah. scene where like she goes in for a kiss and is like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're unfuckable.
There's even a scene where they have to get into like a tiny like air like a cargo.
Airproof. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
A little box.
But
little
I
box.
Think they probably wouldn't be able to make out because they have to like have oxygen.
Yeah. Can't be smooching.
Could you imagine when you're like, listen, it's not that I don't want this, but we will probably die.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, Eagle Eye is a prime example of, like, the kind of dumb action that I like.
Yeah, isn't Eagle Eye just mostly, like, riffing off of Hitchcock again, too?
It is.
Like, it's like an action, like, it's like an inept action version of a Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, I would say it's an inept action version of 39 Steps.
Yeah,
like
no,
a
that's, yeah, that's it.
It's a wrongfully
yeah.
accused person.
Yeah.
Who has to, like, run from the law and get to the bottom of this, like, massive conspiracy.
Yeah. No,
okay, I should check this out.
Oh, you should.
Oh.
Like, it's an entertaining, it's a
Hit
dumb
me
movie.
Up. I have
it's
on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Put it over there. And I will
oh
watch
God.
It again.
Do we yeah. do a double feature of that in Fatal Attraction?
Yes.
Fatal Instinct or whatever it was? Fatal
yeah.
Instinct.
Are you sure you don't want to do Double Instinct with the Shia LaBeouf Rear Window remake?
Yeah, so Spira.
There's a Shia LaBeouf.
Isn't that what it's called?
No.
Oh my God.
Suburbia.
Disturbia.
Disturbia.
Wow. Disturbia.
That was quite a journey we went on from
yeah.
Suspiria to Disturbia.
I'm thinking like Suburbia and it just came out.
Well, I looked at you and was like,
yeah.
I had a moment where I thought, did Shia LaBeouf
yeah, he
lead
it.
A remake of a Dario Argento movie?
He did.
Because that'd be amazing.
You know about Disturbia, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I never watched it, but
I
know.
I mean,
it.
It's, again,
it's
like,
fun.
It's, yeah, it's a dumb,
it's
competent action movie. I think, for my money, Eagle Eye is a more entertaining.
Eagle Eye
is a bit
more entertaining.
Movie.
And it's a prime example of, like, the protagonist I want to see in those movies and the plot that I want to see in those movies. Someone is wrongfully accused, by the way, is a huge trigger point for me.
So is that
Fugitive? Don't get me started.
So what? I didn't love Fugitive, but what
you
was?
Didn't?
I did. I said
oh,
I love
okay,
Fugitive,
okay.
But was that like a good balance for you? Eagle Eye?
Yeah, it
between,
had
like plot because and
it was just cheesy.
Oh,
like,
it's dumb. Yeah,
it's dumb as hell.
But it's entertaining.
But like, if you just shut your brain down for a second, you're like, this is cool. Like,
yeah,
like
it's so stupid. But like,
computers are evil.
It's always watchably stupid.
Yeah.
For my money, I actually like the rare action movie that gives you kind of unexpected emotional stakes. Because I would say like a movie like Fury Road, which we've mentioned before in past movies or past episodes. There are emotional stakes in that, but it's between, it's just sort of like the connection these women have with each other. It's not so much like a romantic thing or a familial thing, which I thought that was an interesting concept.
No, I mean, all the Mad Max movies are that though.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're all like, there's never like the only one that has anything like a romance is the first one and he's already married to her.
Right.
And then she dies.
Yeah. I mean, all of the Mad Max movies I would say are like Mad Max sort of like trying to pull himself away from that last sort of humanity, but not really being able to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like him forging a connection with like the humans he sees.
Which is a solid
solid emotional arc for what is otherwise an insane action.
And it hits my point of like giving me that protagonist that has like that cheesy
wandering. He's a wanderer.
Like the drifter. Like listen, drifters.
he's a brooding drifter.
Why do you think I like Josh Hartnett and Buraku, whose name is literally the drifter?
Because you just like you like 40 Days and 40 Nights so much.
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
Lee, loves
that. She likes movies about that abstaining from sex.
That abstinence, I mean, classic.
Why wouldn't I love that?
Was your favorite part the actual dream sequence you have, where it's just a bunch of animated rolling breasts?
I don't know that I've actually seen
I don't think anyone has actually seen.
I have seen this movie.
Except for Chris.
And he has a dream sequence in which they do computer-generated rolling breasts.
Yeah. Do you know what action movie that I haven't seen that I really need to? It's like, I don't know how I've not gotten around to it.
Right.
That, like, definitely, I know. I don't need to see it to know that I'm going to love it. Shoot him up.
Oh, it's great.
That's going to hit all the buttons.
If we can get our hands on that, I will totally watch that with you. I fucking love Shoot 'Em Up.
I just want to see Paul Giamatti in an action movie. That's like
Paul Giamatti is great. Clive Owen is great. What's her face? What is her name?
The actress.
Yes.
I don't know.
She was La Fiamma in Mozart in the Jungle.
Monica Bellucci.
Oh.
She's a prostitute who, in a scene, Clive Owen is delivering her baby while also shooting up a room full of people. It's insane.
We gotta talk about Drive Angry now.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Back to the, like, arc of, like, action versus acting or story, and, like, how good is the action. Like, that's the tone I need to hit. Like, it has to be Drive Angry for the plot to be that stupid.
So, like a little winky. No,
yeah.
It knows
it's crazy.
I'm sorry,
would you call Drive Angry a little winky?
Just a little goofy.
Just a little bit. Where there's a scene where he's, like, shooting up a room full of bad guys while having sex with a woman.
Well, and
she's in him.
And, yeah. No, he's in
her. Whatever.
I don't know where her other hand is.
I'm not an expert.
Yeah, no, it's not only while she's riding him, he's also just drinking from a bottle of Jack Daniels.
So, I don't know, you could say it's a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's just a little silly.
So when it is that crazy. And I will also say that that movie featured a female lead who does not have a romantic relationship with the protagonist. And is also pretty fierce
in
her
that
life.
That was for sure an impossible age gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if we're saying the Eagle Eye was a bit ridiculous, for sure Amber Heard, Nicolas Cage, that's not happening.
Although, to be fair, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
I know.
Although, look how that ended.
I know.
Oof.
Oofs all around.
Oofs all around.
But also, the thing with Drive Angry that really gets me is, again, not the protagonist this time, but you have the accountant, and that is also the character that I
William Fichtner.
Eat up.
He's great.
Yeah, when he, like, rides the truck. He's, like, surfing a truck that is crashing.
Yeah.
And then it stops in front of the FBI people, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he, like, flips his coin, and it becomes an FBI badge, and they're like, God damn it!
No! Foiled again by the FBI. Curses.
So weird to see, because you're, like, not... You kind of get why he's upset that it's an FBI agent, because it means he can't arrest him, but, like, there's a lot of, like... assumption in your brain as to why that reaction is his reaction.
Yeah, why this enormous reaction. Yeah.
It's also just a great movie if you want to see Nicolas Cage be bananas.
You don't get that opportunity very often, right?
He's normally a very
restrained
actor.
Yeah.
He is great, like, for that. Like, say what you will about the man. I don't think you rarely get, like, a lackluster or a half-hearted performance from Nicolas Cage.
It's true. No, he's always, like... He's in it.
Yeah.
He's in it to win it.
He's got islands to buy.
He's got to buy more.
Now he has billions of dollars to pay.
Well, I know, but he still needs to keep buying more pyramids.
One of my favorite things is he had to halt the building on a castle that was in the shape of the Ace of Spades. What is your favorite flavor of action movies?
Vanilla.
I think I've hit on already, but I think the running from the law, the wrongfully accused, or running from the law. Like, man versus, like, everyone.
For me, it would be anything with a ridiculously heightened reality or taking place in a world that is not quite ours. So you have, like, the Warriors, your Mad Maxes, your John's Wick, those sorts of things.
John's Wick 1 and 2.
John Wick and John Wick Chapter 2.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There is no John Wick Chapter 1.
I kind of just like them all. There's not like one. I like for things to be a little bit more on the heightened side. I tend to shy away from ones that tried to ground it too much in reality.
Mm.
Like, I like the Bourne movies, but sometimes that's where they lose me. Where I was like, this is too anchored.
The Bourne movies, like, went too far for me after. Like, I read the Bourne Identity book at a very young age, younger than perhaps I often have, and I love the Bourne Identity.
Age 4.
I mean, I basically ate
up. Finished up Hop on Pop, was like, all right, what else you got?
She had a lot of problems in the schoolyard because Lee was just beating the shit out of everyone.
Just, like, speaking in Russian, beating up random people.
Das Vedanya.
And then, like, just punch him in the throat.
But no, I really ate up Amnesia Stories when I was a kid. So that's why I got onto that somehow. So I was excited. I was like, oh my God, they're going to make a movie. And I was kind of bummed that it was Matt Damon because I was.
I thought he did a good job with it.
He was good, but I was, at the time, I was like, this isn't what I wanted.
He's no Jeremy Renner.
He is no Jeremy Renner.
That was the worst for me.
I love that, that one. Okay. I don't know. Okay.
Did you see Jason Bourne? Because that's
Jason Bourne.
I didn't. But so I was going to say the Jeremy Renner one has no plot.
I love the Jeremy no Renner plot. One is exactly my thing. It's him against the world. And it's got that Flowers for Algernon feel where he's he's going to like lose all of his intelligence.
I did think that detail was interesting, but I just thought that movie was thoroughly very boring.
I loved it. I'm not going to lie. It's one of my favorites.
Can you stop lying though?
But no, I think like around the second or third one, I was like, eh. But to be honest with you, I didn't really get into the second or third books. The books are very different, by the way.
I believe it.
Intensely different. But I did go back. I actually went back and watched the cheesy 80s TV adaptation of The Bourne Identity, and I fucking prefer it.
A movie that kind of references Bourne a little bit in its plot that I felt like offered more of like a heightened kind of cool thing going on was Hannah. The movie with Saoirse Ronan essentially playing like Kid Bourne.
I didn't
Bourne.
See it. It had a woman. No, I just didn't. I knew about it, but it was like so...
I forgot you were misogynistic.
I forgot how misogynistic I was, but I'm not really... No, I didn't want to see that one.
I highly suggest it, actually. Both her and Eric Bana, and
I
also...
I don't think it's... Again, I think it's not my flavor.
Maybe. Just to wrap this up, and I'm gonna spring this one on you guys. Uh-oh. Just because, you know, we're gonna...
I have a spring topic as well, I think.
Okay.
Well, let's all do our springing.
And maybe this... I don't know if maybe I'm the more, like, international seasoned person here, but,
oh,
like...
Oh, God.
What is... Are there any, like, international flavors? Do you, like, do you guys enjoy, like, Wuxia at all?
Yeah,
like,
I love Wuxia. Arts?
Like, I love me some Jet Li films.
I love Wuxia. I love... John Woo did a really good kind of historical action film called Red Cliff, and...
I think it's come up a lot. I need to see Red Cliff.
It's 3 hours long, but it is so fucking good.
I've already said Bollywood action really gets me. I mean, Bollywood has, like, they're often, like, masala films, and they're, like, they're just everything. And they have the stupid action, and they also have, like, a crazy plot and romance. And Bollywood hits you with the cheese 100% of the time.
It's a cheese bladder.
I mean, always. Like, they're called, like, when you, like... They're called, like, dialogues. Like, they use that phrase a lot to mean, like, the big, like, almost every other line has to be, like, a big man saying, like, an epic speech or, like, a crazy one-liner. So it's, like, wall-to-wall of, like, people just saying, like, dumbass shit. But it's, like, it's meant to sound, like, epic and poetic. So I'm really into that. But, yeah, I like a lot of, like, 90s Jet Li and Jackie Chan. I think Jackie Chan did some solid...
He did.
He's a great, some solid work. I like the one, I forget the name of it, but he had like a sort of franchise where he played like a goofy treasure hunter guy.
I don't know that one.
I forget which one it is, but it's really good. I went through all of them as a kid. Jet Li,
he's great.
Fucking love Romeo Must Die.
I was going to ask
love Romeo Must Die.
Okay, Lee, I'm so there with you. I love
so
Romeo Must Die.
So good. I love like all the stupid like.
It's so silly.
Yeah, I love that Jet Li is just like not a great English speaking actor.
Yeah, and you can see he's struggling to connect with the people in the movie.
I don't think he knows how to, like, emote his lines in English.
No.
But he's kind of adorable for that, I think, in some sense. And the other one he did that was really good is The Kiss of the Dragon.
Never saw that one.
It's so good. I love Kiss of the Dragon.
I remember my uncle had this... He has, like, the most humongous collection of action movies I've ever seen. And he had a Jet Li movie. I can't remember what it was called, but it was, like, it had to do with time travel, and he had to play two different versions of himself.
I forget what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Because there's, like, a climactic scene where his, like, really kind of afterthought girlfriend has to figure out if the guy is really him or not. And she's like, do you remember that day we met at the coffee shop? And he's like, I'll never forget it. She was like, we didn't meet at a coffee shop. And it's, like, played as this, like, really crazy tense scene. It's great.
Solved my coffee shop puzzle.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, since we're going to be getting into a Bond movie, does anyone want to share what their favorite Bond movie is?
Goldeneye.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an easy one. Yeah. It's an easy thing to say because it was my gateway.
It is the best Pierce Brosnan Bond, I think.
Is it
which,
time,
again...
Is it not until the movie episode or now to share my Bond origin story?
I was thinking we would talk about Bond, I think, in the Bond
in the
episode.
Yeah, I'll share my full GoldenEye origin story.
Please do.
At that time. But
Lee Delahanty, GoldenEye origins.
Yeah. 2 colons.
Yes. Like Siamese twins.
I really like GoldenEye. It's probably one of my absolute favorites.
Natalia is my favorite.
She's great. But I think my favorite, and this might be a controversial choice, is the new Casino Royale.
No.
I really
Matt
like
Corley and Matt Myra agree with you. It's not that controversial.
I love
that. So
Batman
step back
I'm
off the ledge,
I'm trying to think
buddy.
That you're so,
yeah.
like,
You're not this edgy, Chris.
Guys, where's my turtleneck and beret?
I mean, again, that's also a really good song. You know my name.
Wow. Guys, A+ Chris Cornell's.
Do you believe in life?
Guys, you know my name.
I think we just found our crossover act. We do. We, it's Lee, Brendan, and Chris bring you Cher Cornell.
Cher Cornell.
You believe
me. Wait, what's the actual chorus? I can't remember any of this if you know my name at the start.
Arm yourself because
nobody else will save you.
God will betray you, and I will replace you. Can't deny the price you may ever feel you. It longs to kill you. Are you ready to die? The coldest blood runs through my veins. You know my name. Bam, 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 bam.
Down, 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 down.
So good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, it's New Casino Royale is my fave. What about you, Brad?
I don't have one favorite James
Wait,
Bond movie.
Wait, but okay, GoldenEye, but also Skyfall because M.
Oh.
Sorry, before anyone else can get in there on the Skyfall.
I like Skyfall, though I have some problems with it. I think of the Daniel Craig ones, Casino Royale is still a better movie, and I like it more.
What about Quantum of Solace?
That's everyone's favorite James Bond
movie. Well, I would say Quantum of Solace is better than Spectre.
Have you ever heard the...
Yeah, if only by virtue of the fact that it's like 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
You should listen to the Adam and Joe theme songs for Quantum of Solace.
Oh, I did, yeah.
They tried to make a theme song that actually used the phrase Quantum of Solace in the title, and one of them was like, the chorus was like, I'd like a quantum of solace. I only want a little.
I mean,
there was something like, I only want a quantum.
I know they've got big bags of solace, but I don't want them.
Yeah.
And the other one just used quantum of solace in the chorus, and then they were still like, I don't know what that means.
Guys, it makes perfect sense if you watch the movie.
I mean, does that really hold a candle, though, to our group rewrite of the Moonraker
theme? The Moonraker.
Moonraker. He's the man who rakes the moon. Which is much better.
He rakes too soon.
Than the actual Moonraker theme song, which is garbage. But the best Bond movies for every Bond, From Russia with Love, yeah. Honor Majesty's Secret Service, which is the only one he did. But still,
I like
it's still a good movie.
Yeah.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm-hmm. Not the second one.
The Living Daylights.
Oh, you like the... I guess so. The problem is that...
Because, License to Kill is the personal story.
License to Kill has more emotional stakes.
Yeah. I think The Living Daylights is a more fun Bond movie.
It is
movie.
More fun, and it has one of the best themes.
Yeah, it does.
one of the best themes?
And GoldenEye and Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other put-ins? Put-ins.
Any of them?
Any other mix-ins? Do you want any other mix-ins
with your
cold store?
Like it, love it, or gotta have it.
I always gotta have more White Lodge.
Guys, I want Cold Stone.
Guys, let's go to Cold Stone right now.
I might go to JP right. after this, because I don't have to work tomorrow.
As and you guys will hear from us in 2 weeks, with our episode on Die Another Day.
You got it. What a good
blank
baby.
I blank out on nouns.
Good baby.
Get back to you guys then. Should we buy this out?
Did you forget how to end an episode for a second?
I suppose we should while we're ahead.
Bye.
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 Bum, 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 bum.
If I could turn back.